بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The last we have discussed yesterday that all these various aspects of salah, there has to be a constant reminder, and that is how tarbiyat is made. And I've given various examples, various instances, how our Hazrat used to make our islah, how we used to make our tarbiyat on the various postures of salah on a daily basis, regular basis. Sometimes Hazrat would see that a person, he is in sajda. When he goes in sajda, and mashayikh, they are very observant. Whenever we go in the company of mashayikh, number one, watch your thoughts all the time. Sometimes you go with a particular thought, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala opens it up to them. Sometimes it just opens up, and they will comment on that. And sometimes a person, he goes in the company of mashayikh, and he has a need. So when he goes with his need in the company of mashayikh, he sits there with his need. On that you'll find that their topic was on a different subject matter altogether. But now the topic went in a different direction altogether. So how is it that it went on that different direction? So this is many sometimes on your talab, on the desire that a person came to the majlis. Somebody came with a desire, he came with a need. When he came with that desire and that need, Allah Ta'ala made the speaker speak in that particular direction. It happens in the madrasa also, that the ustad that teaches, and before he comes to class in the morning to teach, the night before he has to make mutala, he has to go over the kitabs, whatever he's going to teach the next day. It's not that he just comes and opens the kitab and he teaches. And sometimes if it's big kitabs, it can take hours for them to study just a few ahadith to teach it the next day in class. But many a time it could happen that the ustad, he comes to teach and he has studied something at night. But the next day when he comes to teach, his topic goes in a different direction altogether. Why? Because some student perhaps that came to class, he came with some need in his heart, some problem that he's facing. So when he comes there, Allah Ta'ala on that desire of yours, that need of yours, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opens the heart of the speaker in that direction, he speaks in that direction. It's known about Mala Thanvi Rahmatullah, we're going off the topic now, but Mala Thanvi Rahmatullah may be beneficial for somebody. Mala Thanvi Rahmatullah is mentioned in regards to him that many people would go to Mala Thanvi Rahmatullah and they would sit in the company of Mala Thanvi Rahmatullah. So Hazrat would speak in a particular, he'll be speaking on a particular subject matter in a particular direction, and then all of a sudden he covers another aspect altogether. So somebody in that gathering came with a particular need. Now he would think that Hazrat had kashf. That is why Hazrat knew what problem I came with here, and Hazrat spoke about this particular problem. And when that person, when the majlis is over, his problem is resolved. He came with the problem, but at the end of the majlis, that problem is sorted out, it is resolved. So Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah used to many a time say, he says that there's no kashf over here. Here there's no kashf. He says that you came with the desire. You had a need, you came with your need here. When you were sincere, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opened up the heart of the speaker. And the speaker, he spoke in that particular direction, and that need of that person was then fulfilled. So whenever we go in the company of mashayikh, number one, watch your heart. And secondly, mashayikh are very, very observant. Those that are the seniors, they're very observant of every movement of yours. You might not even take note of it, and sometimes they may comment on something in the majlis. So you think, you know, it is for somebody else. But as I said, everyone take it for himself. So it might be referring to you, but you thinking, no, it's not me, somebody else that he's speaking about. So they're very particular. And then they won't tell us directly, but they will just indicate towards it that, you know, something is not right. So now if you have to sit a little while after that program, after that majlis, just sit a little while and think, these following things were mentioned. Now who is it being referred to? And sometimes a person, he will pick up that he was being referred to. And these are the problems they will indicate towards us. They will not tell us directly, but they will just indicate towards it in the majlis. So here also, many aspects they will find. For example, there were occasions where somebody will go into sajda. So when he will go into sajda, then the hand supposed to be on the ground, but the hand will be like this. It will be slightly off the ground. So like with a little hump. So it will come and say that, no, some people they keep their hand like this. And like a golf ball is kept underneath. He says, no, your hand must be flat on the ground. So all these aspects were covered. Then for example, on one occasion, I was once performing Taraweeh over here, and it was still in my early days when I was still a student and I was performing. And I remember it was the last quarter of the 8th para. And the last quarter of the 8th para, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Salih alayhi salam, Samud, Lut alayhi salam, and finally Shu'ib alayhi salam. So all these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are mentioned in that last quarter of the 8th para. So we were reading, so wherever we found that it is munasib, where it is appropriate for us to stop, then we will go into ruku at that particular place and continue. So next day, Hazrat came, and then he said, "See, you are a Hafiz al-Quran, and you are studying to become an Alim of Deen." He says that you know Arabic, you know the translation of Quran. He says, now these stories of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are mentioned. This is more particular for those that read Taraweeh. That these stories of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that are mentioned, he said that why are you breaking them up? For example, you start with Nuh alayhi salam, and then you go into Hud alayhi salam. You don't finish the story of Hud alayhi salam and you break it up. Then you go from Hud alayhi salam into Salih alayhi salam, and you stop the story of Salih alayhi salam, that incident halfway. And then you start from there and you go into Lut alayhi salam. He's saying, why are you doing this? He says that when you read, finish the story of one Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, or two Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam together, then go into Ruku. Then the next rakat you start with the next Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So even your Taraweeh should be planned in that way. Once Hazrat Mufti Abdullah Fulpuri Sahib, Rahmatul Ali, has now passed away. He passed away in Makkah Sharif. And he was the grandson of Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Fulpuri Rahmatul Ali. So he had come, he spent I think 2 Ramadan here in Azad when he came to the Khanqah. He spent 2 Ramadan here. And once again I was performing Taraweeh. And then before he left, 1 or 2 days before he left, then he called us. And Hazrat was there. So he said that there were 2 of us. That particular year there was 2 of us reading. So it was still, I think, in the first, just after the first Ashara, around the 11th or 12th of Ramadan. So we were reading 10-10. Now, what my point over here to explain is, see how they make Islah, how they make Tarbiyat. So we were reading 10-10 rakats. So then he asked her, he says, see, this 10-10 rakats that you're reading, where you got this 10-10 rakats from? Where is it proven, that 10-10 rakats? He says, this 10-10 rakats that you get in Taraweeh, this has come from Saudiya. He says, in the Haramain, that has been in the previous times. Now, there are many imams. In the previous time, there were just 1 or 2 imams. So, they would share 10-10 rakats each. So, he says that this habit of reading 10-10 rakats, it started from there. So, we then check the kitabs of fiqh, fatawa hindiya, various fatawa kitabs. So, there it is written that mustahab is, you must stop after every 4 rakats. Every 4 rakats. That is called tarweeha. And the jama'ah of it is, where you got Taraweeh. Taraweeh means a rest period. So you stop after 4, after 8, after 12, after 16. So that is how you should alternate. Either one person reads 12 and the other one reads 8, but not this 12-12 rakat, not this 10-10 rakat. And the second thing that he made mention, he said that the Taraweeh that you all are reciting, he says that the pages, he says normally we read the first rakat must be longer and the second rakat must be shorter. Obviously there is exception to that rule also, that where for example the second rakat sometimes it can be longer also, but equivalent to 3 verses, only to 3 verses. Once it goes, if the second rakat is longer than the first rakat up to 3 verses, it is fine. But once it goes over 3 verses, then it becomes makruh. So he said that we normally show the first rakat is longer and the second rakat is shorter. So he said, see, both the rakats should be approximately equal. Approximately. That it shouldn't be that the first one is too long and the second one then is quite a bit short now. It shouldn't be that way also. There should be some equalness between both the rakats. Yes, now sometimes it happens for the hafizah now to stop in the first rakat at a particular place. And then now to start in the second rakat, he's worried. He mustn't forget that ayat that comes after that. So certain instances, you pull a little bit extra in the first rakat, is understood. But generally we're talking that that's how the rakat should be also equal. The third thing he told us, he said that, see, when you make salam, he said that it seems Like the second salam that you are making, the first one, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and the second one that you make. He says that the second one seems to be a little longer than the first one. He says that's wrong. That is incorrect. He says, how should it be done? So he said that the second salam, it should be just approximately the same, in fact a little less than the first salam. The first salam should be a little longer, and the second salam when you make, that should be slightly less than that. Approximately the same, but slightly less than the first salam. It shouldn't be longer than the first salam. So in this way, tarbiyat gets made. When somebody corrects us, they show these things to us, we should thank such people. We should make dua for them, we should thank them that you rectified me. In our masjid, there is one retired school teacher. He still teaches part-time a little bit. So I told him, anytime you need to correct my English is not good. So anytime you need to rectify me, feel free, come and rectify me. So mashallah, he came one occasion, he told me that you're saying the word monk. He said it's not monk, it's monk. That's the correct pronunciation of it. So I thanked him. I said, no, jazakallah. He says, I've come because you told me. I said, feel free. Anytime you find any error, you are a senior, feel free to come and tell us. Once Maulana Rafiq Haturani Sahab, he was in Newtown Masjid, and Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahab had come down, and Maulana had rendered some ash'ar. So he said, yesterday I rendered the same ash'ar. And he said that the ash'ar that I rendered, I cannot recall now whether it was in regards to Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, that's Mufti Taqi Sahab's father. He said that there were few words that I pronounced incorrectly. So he said, "Dear Mufti Taqi Sahab, make my islah." He told me same time, this is incorrect. This is how it must be read. So he learnt it up the correct way now. And he came the next day to recite it to Mufti Taqi Sahab, but Mufti Sahab was a bit late that day. So by the time he came, the ashar were already over. So then he said that, see, as long as these seniors are here, we make shukr. That as long as they are there, we will be guided. They will rectify our matters. And this we see again and again. For example, you're looking for some fatwa or giving some masla of deen. Many a time you come to the wrong conclusion. But just refer it to the senior and see how the senior, he'll simplify it for you in two twos. He'll tell you that this is how it's supposed to be and that entire. Now you thought a problem that you can't solve, but you just took it to the senior and he will simplify with you. This is another great benefit that those that got years of experience, our Hazrat mentioned on one occasion, we went completely off the topic. He mentioned on one occasion, he said that a doctor, when I go to a doctor, he says, I go to a doctor that is old and experienced. He says, if you go to a young doctor, then he'll also treat you. He may be a very good doctor, a doctor. But the young doctor, he will send you for so many blood tests. So many blood tests he will send you for. And he says that when you go to a senior doctor, he says that he's got so much of experience, he'll tell you, right, you just do this, just take this medication or just do this. And inshallah, that whole problem will be solved. Yet the younger one puts you through so much. Now, my daughter had a problem with her eyes, so they said they need to go for this cross-linking. So, it's quite expensive, so we asked one of the optician for some advice. So then, he gave us advice, and he phoned me back after a few days. He told me, what have you decided? So I said, see, the cost factor by another Muslim doctor is much more cheaper. And there's another doctor that's much more expensive. So I prefer going to that particular doctor because they give me such a good discount. So he told me, see, in this particular field, you don't worry about the discount. Here you look at the experience. He says, those that got more experience, you go to them. And there, inshallah, your work will get solved. So in the medical field, that is how those that are working on this particular issue on the eyes, he says, there are those that are doing, one person did, I think, 6,000 or 5,000 cases. So he says, even though he charges you much more, you rather go over there. So your experience, those that got experience, you stay with them, Allah Ta'ala makes it very, very easy for a person. Okay, so these were the aspects that were corrected for us. Then came the aspect of the witr salah. So here also, Hazrat, how he made tarbiyat, he explained. He said, see, that in the witr salah, in the khanqa of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he said that in the first rakat, they would read Surah Ikhlas. And the second rakat of the witr, this is a sunnah. Second rakat, Surah Falaq. And in the third rakat, Surah Nas. So when Mufti Abdullah Pulpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came, and then witr was read like this, he immediately objected. He said the first rakat is shorter than the second rakat. Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad is short. Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq is longer. So he said, how is it that you all did this? So at that time, Hazrat said that this is how we heard it in the Khanqah of Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah actually. Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah alayhi. So then we looked for the proof for that. And then alhamdulillah we found the proof. And now later on, after many years, one of the hadith departments in our country, they gave all the different narrations, what is sunnah to be recited in the witr. So see where there's hadith, where there's nas, then the second rakat is longer than the first rakat, there's no problem there. Because that's proven from the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Jumu'ah, you read first rakat, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. And second rakat, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ. هَلْ أَتَاكَ is longer than سَبِّحِ اسْمَ. But here there's proof from hadith. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read like that. So there's no problem. You can read longer in the second rakat than in the first rakat. Same here also. First rakat, Surah Ikhlas. Second rakat, Surah Falaq. And third rakat, Surah Nas. Then the other one which is famous, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. And the third one, Surah Ikhlas. And then there is another tartib. And there may be others also, that إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Surah Qadr in the first rakat. وَالْعَصْرِ in the second rakat. And إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ in the third rakat. So Hazrat would tell us that these three are sunnah. So for 3 days, recite this. For 3 days. Then break it off. On the fourth day, you read something else. From anywhere else you want to read, you recite. And then again, on the fifth, sixth and seventh day, again, come back to this tartib. So, you're reading the 3 days. First, what is the sunnah qirat? Then you're breaking up with any way you want to read in the Quran. And then the last 3 days of the week, again you come back to this. So, see, this is how tarbiyat is made. So, this does not come overnight. This comes over a long period of time where a person remains with mashayikh. Slowly, slowly tarbiyat is made. Then we learn all these things. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of all this. Now, so much of emphasis has been laid in salah. Why? Because if the salah of a person, just this one aspect in the life of a person has to be rectified, this comes right, then everything out of the masjid, your life out of the masjid, everything will be rectified. Everything will come right. There is a connection, although we do not see it, but there is a connection between the salah that we perform and the life of a person outside the masjid. Like as I explained yesterday or day before, he said that anything that a person does, there's a consequence, there's an effect of it. For example, a person is in the room, he is with his wife and there's a child there. And he is intimate with his wife. So this will have an effect on the child that is in that room also. So exactly the same way, that salah that you perform, if it is done correctly, things outside the masjid will also be rectified, it will be corrected. But if there is deficiency in the salah, then in your worldly matters also, there will be deficiency. In the time of Mawlana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, one person, he was serving water. So, while serving the water, there would be one person that would walk around and he will pour the water for everyone. So, when people are eating, this person will walk around with a jug and he'll pour the water. So, he dropped the jug, he dropped the water. So, immediately, Mawlana Ilyas Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he commented on this. He said, your namaz is not in order. If your namaz was in order, you wouldn't have dropped this jug of water. Now, who would say there is connection between salah and the jug of water? But there is a connection. Like for example, in today's time, it's easy to understand today. Today a person, he's got a remote. He presses a button, the car alarm goes on. He activates it. He presses the button, all the doors open, he deactivates it. Now, that remote is in your pocket, you're sitting here in the masjid, and the car is in the parking area. But you're pressing it here, it's opening and closing it there. So there is a connection between the two. You come home, you just press one button, the garage door opens. So there is a motor inside, there is a remote outside. So there is a connection between the two. Exactly the same way now understand it. Between your salah and between your life outside the masjid, there is a connection. If this salah is rectified, everything will come right there. On one occasion, I was explained to us, he said that it was on a Sunday morning and there was a nikah. So he said that he came and he spoke. And then in the nikah, he made mention of this point. He said, see, that it is the mustahab, amongst the mustahabbat of namaz. It is mustahab, it is preferable in salah, that a person, when he is in the standing posture, when he's standing, then your gaze should be at the place of sajda. When a person, he goes into ruku, then your gaze should be on your feet. When you go into sajda, then your gaze should be on the tip of your nose. A person can't see his nose, but the tip of the nose, a person, he is able to see. So a person, his gaze should be on the tip of the nose when he's in sajda. And when a person is in the sitting posture, the qada posture, your gaze should be here on your thighs. And when we make salam, then a person, his gaze should be on his shoulders. And then obviously there are niyat to be made of the malaika, and if for example the musallis that are on the right, and if the imam has to be on his right, then he makes niyat of the imam, he's making salam to the imam as well. Similarly the left, when he's making salam to the left, the gaze should be on the shoulder, and all these niyats a person should make. So he said that, see, if a person, his gaze is corrected while he's in salah, then outside salah in the masjid, outside the masjid, the gaze of a person will be corrected as well. So one person, he was sitting there, and he heard the talk, he went away. Then after 2 weeks, he phoned. And then he explained to us that, he said, see, that I was there for that bayan. Now I had a problem, I had a serious problem. And my problem was that I couldn't control my gaze. That's always casting lustful glances. And this is an illness. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala save us all, give us tawfiq. Such an illness that one occasion was said that in Pakistan, Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi explained. He said that one person, elderly person, he was perhaps in his 70s, 80s, so he came and he sat in the bus. So now when he's sitting in the bus, one young lady now came, maybe about 18, 20 year old girl. So she came and sat there on the seat next to him. So now Kaka is, attention is somewhere else. So the conductor came. He said, Kaka, ticket lelo. Kaka, ticket lelo. Kaka is in another world. He is looking somewhere else. So that is how this is an illness. If a person doesn't get rid of it, it remains with a person for the rest of his life. So islah has to be made of this. An effort has to be made. A person has to cry to Allah Ta'ala. He has to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. And when a person, sometimes he slips also. So when he slips, then he has to make tawbah also. That, Ya Allah, it was a mistake. Ya Allah, forgive me. And then start all over again. Again, if he slips, again, make tawbah, but he must be sincere when he's making that tawbah. That inshallah, I won't do it in the future. So this person had a problem. So because he had a problem, he made a second nikah. But after making second nikah, he still couldn't get his gazes right. That was not the solution. But after listening to this talk, then he went back. And then he started concentrating in salah. Just the gaze. This is a mustahab of namaz. We're not talking of faraiz of namaz or wajibah. Just a mustahab act of namaz. And he started keeping his gaze in the correct place, like I explained now. In 2 months of practice and acting on this advice, he got his gaze, alhamdulillah, almost 100% under control. So see, when salah comes right, everything in the life of a person, that is why so much of emphasis here on salah. That just get this one aspect of our life right, do it the correct way, do it according to the sunnah, and inshallah our life will be sorted out. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Salah has the effect of stopping a person from evil, from indecent acts. This is the ability Allah has kept in salah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked regarding this verse, he said, مَلَّمْ تَنْهَهُ صَلَاتُهُ عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ That person whose salah cannot prevent him from wrong, it is not stopping him from doing wrong, then there is no salah, he is not performing salah. There is something wrong with his salah. That is why it is not stopping him, that is why it is not preventing him from doing wrong. One sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he tells Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, there is one person that he performs salah at night, punctual up to date with his salah, but during the day he goes out and he steals. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala that, oh Abu Huraira, let him read his namaz. Salah will eventually stop him and become a deterrent from him stealing. It will stop him from stealing. Time will come when he will stop stealing. So this is the ability that salah has. But on condition, ulama have written that in that salah there must be 3 things that is found. If there are 3 things found in salah, then that salah will stop a person, it will hold back a person from committing wrong. The one is there must be ikhlas. When you read that namaz, it must be done for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There must be ikhlas. In fact, any amal that we do, when you come onto the musalla, now you are performing salah, a person should make intention at that time. That, Wallah, I'm performing the salah, it is your command. I'm fulfilling your command. So every namaz you are reading, the farz namaz, make intention, Wallah, this is your command, I'm fulfilling your command. It is only for you I'm performing the salah. A person is keeping his roza in the morning. Fuqaha have made it very easy for a person that you woke up, why would you wake up 4 o'clock in the morning to eat? Nobody wakes up to eat breakfast 4 o'clock in the morning. So the fact that you are waking up that time of the morning to go and have your sehri, is already you have intention in your heart that I'm going to be roza today, I'm going to be fasting. That is why you are waking up. So your roza is going to be valid in terms of sharia. But a person should make niyat at that time. That, oh Allah, this is your command. You have made fasting obligatory upon me. Therefore I'm now waking up to have my sehri, I'm now fasting, fulfilling your command. So one is, that salah, there must be ikhlas in it. The second thing, a person should have the fear of Allah Ta'ala. A person should have fear of Allah Ta'ala as well. And the fear of Allah Ta'ala is such that this fear of Allah Ta'ala, this will stop a person from gunas. It will hold a person back from committing gunas, from disobeying Allah Ta'ala. And more the fear of Allah Ta'ala is when a person is young. Why? When a person is young, there's a lot of lust, a lot of desire in a person. At that time, when a person wants to do something, nobody can stop him also. So they say more a person should have the fear of Allah Ta'ala when he is young. And when a person now becomes old, now he doesn't have that amount of lust, that amount of desire. Now he starts worrying, I'm going into the qabr, what is going to happen to me? So at that time, Sharia says that now you have hope. You more than fear, you must have more hope. So this is how they have balanced it out. Al-Imanu bayn al-khawfi wal-raja. Iman has been balanced out between fear on one side and hope on the other side. So how it is balanced? That the hope is in your old age. And the fear a person should have more in his young age. So this fear of Allah Ta'ala, this will stop a person, this will hold a person back from committing guna. Now what type of fear? You know, they mentioned that as well, coming to my mind, that what type of fear is referred to. So the fear of Allah Ta'ala should not be like this, that if I'm going to disobey Allah Ta'ala, I'm going to go into Jahannam. No. It's not like Allah Ta'ala is some oppressor, somebody waiting to take us and throw us into Jahannam. It's not Allah Ta'ala. That is the fear of a dog. The dog is frightened of the master, that the master is going to hit me, or some animal that a person has, now is fearing that if I don't do this, the master is going to hit me, the horse, or whatever the case may be. The fear of Allah Ta'ala is this way, that a person should think a little bit, that so many ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala I'm enjoying at this particular moment. At this moment, I'm enjoying so many ni'mats of Allah. And in spite of enjoying these ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, my car, Allah Ta'ala has given me. I never had a car. Allah gave me a car. Then Allah gave me a car that is running perfectly. Then that car requires petrol. Allah gave me the money to fill in petrol in the car. That car requires service. Allah Ta'ala gave me the wealth to then service that car. Everything in the car is fully functional. On a hot day, I got an aircon. On a cold day, I got a heater. Now what a perfect car Allah Ta'ala has given me. Now when a person, he wants to disobey Allah Ta'ala. Now think, the same car which Allah Ta'ala has given me, I'm using it for the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. How is it possible? So many ni'mat in this one car, I'm breaking Allah Ta'ala's command. Or a person has got that phone. Now think that this phone Allah Ta'ala gave me. I didn't have this phone. And it is a means of my communication. My family, somebody needs something, I can communicate. What a ni'mat of Allah. Now this ni'mat which Allah Ta'ala gave me, He favored me with, I must break His command, use His ni'mat and disobey Him. So this is the fear that is referred to over here. So this is the second thing, a person should have fear in him. And the third thing, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, is mentioned regarding him. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua to Allah on one occasion. He said, Ya Allah, that the fear that you had given my father, Dawud alayhi salam was the father, Sulaiman alayhi salam was the son. Allah, the fear that you gave to my father, for you, give me that fear. And the love that you gave my father, love that he had for you, that love give it to me. It is mentioned when he made this dua, for that fear of Allah Ta'ala, and that love of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala made the decision on this occasion, that, O Sulaiman, I will give you such a kingdom that I haven't given anyone in the world. Why? Because Sulaiman alayhi salam, at that time, he was in the obedience of Allah. He wasn't breaking the commands of Allah. When he was in the obedience of Allah, he is asking Allah Ta'ala, that, O Allah, grant me your fear like you gave my father, and give me your love that you gave my father. So Allah made the decision, I'll give you a kingdom which nobody enjoyed on the surface of the earth. And the third thing that is required is the zikr of Allah. So here, zikr of Allah in salah refers to tilawat. That tilawat, recitation of Quran, Quran has got such power that complete islah and reformation of a person can take place just on tilawat of the Quran. So now a person has got salah, in that he's got ikhlas. Ikhlas on his own is a very great thing. And ikhlas only comes when? In the end of the life of a person. Not everybody thinks, I got ikhlas in my life. I'm very sincere. Ikhlas doesn't come like that. Ikhlas doesn't come. Ikhlas comes in the end of the life of a person. And Mawla Thanvi rahmatullahi said that how will ikhlas come? He said, ikhlas will come in your life when you will turn the shoes of Ahlullah. When you stay with the buzruk, so the pious people, you turn their shoes for them. Normally when Hazrat comes, some buzruk come, we go and put their shoe down for them. So you're turning their shoes, you're bringing it and you're putting it for them just to come and put it on. He says, when you will serve them in that way, then ikhlas will come into the life of a person. Otherwise, everyone thinks that he has ikhlas. But Ahlullah, they will point out to us that our ikhlas is very, very weak. So when ikhlas is found, fear of Allah Ta'ala is found, and tilawat of Quran is found with salah, then a person, that salah will stop a person from the disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So here, in this kitab also that we're going to do, inshallah, many things that we're going to come across, which perhaps we must have heard before, we know about. But again here, we should think that how much of this is in my life, which Mawlana Thami Rahmatullah, which I mentioned many a times, he said that this is tasawwuf, that ma'lumat ko ma'mulat banana. What you know, now make it your practice. And another time he said that gunas, insan ke rag rag or reshe reshe se gunah ka khot nikal jaye, gunah must come out of your life. That is tasawwuf. And Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Sahib Saharanpuri Rahmatullah, Hazrat, what he mentioned, he said, what is tasawwuf? He says that you must have so much of love for the ibadat of Allah, so much of love to make ibadat of Allah Ta'ala like you have love for your food and your drink. How a person wants his food, time is up, now I want my food, he looks forward to his food. He says to that extent a person should love to make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala like you love your food. That is why one dua of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we thought, Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, we ask you for your love. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak. We ask for your love. Wa hubba may yuhibbuk. And Allah, we ask you for the love of those people that love you. That is Ahlullah. Wal amal alladhi yuballighuna hubbak. And Allah, we ask you for the love of those actions that will convey us, that will bring us to your love. Those actions that will bring us to your love, we ask for that. Now look at Allama Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullahi, he explained this dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, look at again the sequence of dua, that what wisdom has been kept in dua. And the fact that these type of sequences we find in dua, this is the indication of the risalat of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where else would these duas come from? They came from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says, see, one side you're asking, Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak, we want your love, O Allah. Now the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who would have known there's a thing as the love of Allah Ta'ala? Our Hazrat explained, he said, that we never knew there was a thing as the love of Allah Ta'ala. That yes, ibadat there was, piety there was, taqwa there was, but the love of Allah Ta'ala, we didn't even know there was such a thing as the love of Allah Ta'ala. Mawlana Nadwi, that's in Durban, Reservoir University, he is one of the lecturers there. So he told Hazrat Kim Sahib Rahmatullah, he said, Hazrat, the people of South Africa were dry. They were dry. They didn't know that a thing as the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala even existed. You came and you gave them a taste of what is the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we never know what is the love of Allah. So here in this dua we are saying on one side, Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbak. Wallah, we are asking you for your love. So on our own, we don't know what is the love of Allah. And on the other extreme, what we are asking, وَالْعَمَلَ الَّذِي يُبَلِّغُنَا حُبَّكُ. Wallah, let us do those actions that will take us to your love. Now to do actions, for a person to wake up in the morning and to keep read tahajjud namaz, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. Now in the month of winter is a bit easy, because tahajjud finishes late. But in summer, very, very difficult for a person to wake up. For a person to keep fast in the month of winter, easy. But when it's the month of summer, especially where it's 20 hours, 19 hours, then it is difficult for a person to fast. So to do amal is also difficult. And the love of Allah Ta'ala, this is also something that we don't know. So in between these two du'as, what has been brought? That give us the love of those people that love you, the Ahlullah. When Ahlullah will come in, then what they'll do on one side, they will teach you what is the love of Allah. And the other side, they will bring you onto those amal, onto those actions, that will take you to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They will make everything so easy for you. So look at the dua of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Allah, we ask you for your love, and the love of those that love you, and those actions that will bring us to your love. This will happen to Ahlullah. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali has written, he said, we all believe, we all accept, there is a thing called as bad nazar. Bad nazar. Somebody's gaze falls, for example, a child. Mother dressed the child up. Now she put the best clothing, the day of Eid, put the best clothing for the child. And that child now came out of the house. And now somebody's nazar fell on that child. Finished. Many times the child finished, got fever now. And until that nazar is not removed, go doctors, go wherever you want to go. Child got fever, 2 weeks the child will remain with fever until that nazar is removed. Once we went to Lanesia, one alim was staying there. It was many years ago. He was from another country. So mashallah, he had built a nice big house, double story house, and latest, what we would say, the latest finishings at that time. So when we went to visit him, he was very happy. He said, no, come. And he took us, he showed us the whole house. So the whole house was up to date, all the bedrooms and everything. He put latest, everything of the latest. Then he brought us to the lounge. So the lounge, it wasn't even painted. Now he's got a perfect house, posh house, what we'll say. But the lounge, he left it unpainted. So then he told us, he says, see, I took you now throughout the whole house. I showed you the whole house. So he says, what's going to happen now? Your nazar and your gaze fell on the house. That's why when your nazar falls on somebody, some child looks very good, say, MashaAllah. La quwwata illa billah. So that nazar goes away. Somebody is reading Quran very beautifully, MashaAllah. So beautiful he reads. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Finish, that nazar then goes away. Otherwise, that nazar has an effect. So he said, see this room, I left it like this, dilapidated. I never do it up. So all that nazar that fell all over, here it will come, it will fall away. No nazar. So he says, this room I left it like that. So see the nazar, it's a reality. Somebody's nazar falls on the child gets sick. Falls on the house, it can fall on a person that is reading Quran, it can fall on anyone, this nazar. So Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says, when there is such a thing as bad nazar, then he says, what to say about the nazar of Ahlullah, of the friends of Allah Ta'ala. They one nazar, they one glance and gaze on you, sometimes it is sufficient to change the life of a person. That's why one poet he says, Nigaye wali mein wo ta'seer dekhi, badalti hazaron ki taqdeer dekhi. That in that nazar, in that gaze of the wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we saw that effect. That the taqdeer and the destiny of thousands of people had changed. How people had come. Here we have so many times we hear reports here also. Brothers tell us once when we were at one brother's place, he explained to us that he says that when I came here, he says when he came to the Khanka, and he says, clean shaven, no beard, nothing whatsoever. And mashallah, he used to wear, he told me the suit that I used to wear, 8,000 rand. 8,000 rand at a time, I will wear a suit. Today you see, mashallah, sunnat beard, kurta, and living a life that is simple. Mashallah, not an alim. Now he makes imamat also. He's where Allah Ta'ala had taken him. Where he was, and where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had taken him. So just coming in the company of Ahlullah, how a person changes his life, that only Allah, this is the system of Allah Ta'ala, it is beyond our comprehension, only Allah Ta'ala knows. And Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah has written, he says that what effect Allah Ta'ala has kept in this? He says that a person that is a kafir, sometime he comes in the company of Ahlullah, that person becomes mu'min. Allah Ta'ala blesses him with iman. As Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he was at the airport in Oar Tambo. I think he just come from Umrah or something. So anyway, he came from Umrah or he was going, I can't recall exactly what happened. So anyway, I think he must have come. So Hazrat Mawlana was overweight. So it was a hot day and he wanted to drink water. So the water was brought to him. So he sat down. Everyone normally will stand, they'll drink. He sat down and he drank the water. Then when he went, most probably he was checking in from here to Durban. So when he went to weigh his goods, he was overweight. So the airline, certain airline carriers, they give you maybe 2 or 3 kilos extra, not more than that. And some are to the point. When you say 20 kilos, it means 20 kilos. They won't go even a kilo over that. They tell you take it out or you pay for it. So Morana, when he weighed it, he said, you're overweight, you must pay. So he wanted a bribe. So Morana said, no. If you are authorized to put it through, then you put it through. And if you're not authorized to put it through, no problem. A lot of people I know in Johannesburg, I'll leave it here. And somebody is coming now, they'll bring it down. So he observed that, and then he observed that he sat and he drank the water. After that, he told him, come this side. So he called him one side. He said, make me read the Kalima. He accepted Islam. So see, what effect it has. They just come in company. One of the Morana was in Zimbabwe, Victoria Falls. And there also, he said he met a person. So he just spoke a little bit to him or whatever the case may be. He never gave us too much of details. We just heard it that in one bayan that he said that I just spoke to him a little bit. And what happened? This person that he spoke to for a few minutes accepted Islam. He brought iman. So a person that is kafir, one nazar of Ahlullah sometimes, a person Allah Ta'ala gives him iman. And a person that is a fasiq, is a person that transgresses, he breaks the laws of Shariat. Sometimes that person, he becomes now a muttaqi and a pious person. Just that little contact with Ahlullah. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah, we heard from Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah in the end of his life. This is before Hazrat passed away. Hazrat was so weak, somebody would sit, they would carry, he'd hold his hand like this. So whole line, whole queue would be waiting, just come and make musafa with Hazrat. So whilst he would be sitting like this, and then somebody would come, he doesn't know, he's so weak. So he saw the Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah also like that. When you meet him, that in the end of his life somebody would be holding him there, and then you just go make musafa with Hazrat. So here also Hazrat, he, so to say, like he's sleeping and he's sitting, somebody will come and just shake his hand, he'll say isko ijazat de do. Now somebody just came in the line, he just shook his hand, but he says, this person, give him ijazat, give him khilafat. So this is Ahlullah. So here it is mentioned that these Ahlullah, what we refer to them as? We refer to them as, time is already up, time, we refer to them as Durwesh. Now this Durwesh, what's the meaning of Durwesh? Dur in Arabic means a pearl, moti, pearl. And Wesh the means misal. So they are like pearls. They are like pearls. So here it is written that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi has written, he says that go in the company of Ahlullah, and even if your heart is hard like rock, he says then too they will soften you and they will make you like pearls. When you will come out from there, you will come out like a pearl that is shining. So this is the effect of remaining in the company of Ahlullah. We'll continue from here tomorrow, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us the